Blog Talk Radio.
I'm there. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It is September 25th, Tuesday, 2012, and it is this week's edition of Whiskey and Barbecue in the Pits. Good to be here again, finally. It seemed like a month, but it's only been 2 weeks that we've been off, and it's been too long. Sorry about that, guys, but real job gets in the way, bills to be paid, you know, you guys know the story, blah, blah, blah. This is for the 98% of us, this is our hobby, and so when the real "quote unquote" obligations come up, you gotta take care of those and see what happens. And really thought we were gonna have a show last week, but it just meetings ran too long, it just didn't work out. But anyway, we're here tonight, and we're here tonight with three pretty solid guests. We've got one repeater, probably his at least third time, if not fourth. Pit, Rob Marion, two worthless nuts. Rob's going to come in and talk to us about the Jack Daniels. Rob got into the Jack Daniels, going to be cooking it late October, and pretty interested to see, you know, his take on how he got in. I think it's a worthwhile way he got in, but looking forward to hearing it, talking to Rob, and getting his take on it. Second, guy that, you know, I've got to say I've kind of looked up to, Todd Johns from Plowboys Barbecue. I remember one of the, boy, we ran that bovine bold for a long time on brisket. You know, Todd Johns, Plowboys Barbecue has one of the best brand names out there when it comes to barbecue products. I would almost say, you know, not to offend anybody, but if I was going to rank Plowboys as a brand kind of in our cult, in our hobby, it may be the number two brand behind Blues Hog. And that's saying a lot. You know, Bill Arnold's got a great product, you know, done a great job. You know, if you're a contest cook and you say you've never used it before, I'm going to call you a liar. And I kind of feel that same way about Todd's. When you look at, you know, his two biggest, the Yardbird and the Bovine Bold, been around for a while, sold a lot. Anytime your stuff gets propped up in Bass Pro Shop, you know you got some street cred. And then he's got his, you know, lines of sauce. He's got his sauce out now. He's got the, I believe he's got a Fin and Feather, a couple other things. We're going to talk to him, but his first time in the pit, look forward to it. Want to thank Rob, our first guest, for kind of telling Todd it's okay. You know, Chad, he's all right to go on the air with. He won't bite. But looking forward to having Todd on and talk a lot about, I mean, these guys got started in 2001. So, you know, obviously it's always cool to have an American Royal champion on the show. It's also cool to talk to somebody that's been around the sport or hobby, whatever we want to call it, for 11 years. Kind of talk to him about the evolution of it through that time. So Todd John's going to be our second guest. And then Matt, I hate to, if I mess your name up, I apologize. Matt Genos, I believe, Big Brothers Barbecue. coming out of the Great Lakes BBQ Association. These guys have only been cooking 9 months. Started at the beginning of the year, and next thing you know, they won the Great Lakes Barbecue Association Team of the Year. And it's not that there's not good cooks up there. There's great cooks up there. You've got Rub Sauce and Smoke. You've got IBQ, and you've got Extreme Smokers, Troy. You've got a lot of Bavarian Smoke. You've got a lot of really, really good Michigan Great Lakes Barbecue Association cook teams up there. And these old boys come in, you know, first time out, January of this year. Hey, let's cook some barbecue. Let's do this. And they pretty much kicked ass and took Team of the Year. So we're going to have Matt on to talk about that here as our third guest tonight. So looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. And, you know, we're going to get to talk to somebody that's been in the business for a while, and we're going to get to talk to somebody that's kind of just getting into the business, which I think will be really, really cool. So with that being said, let's talk about a couple other things. 1 second, guys. I'm trying to pull something up here. All right. Let's get back to it. So a couple things that I want to talk about because it's been a while since we've talked. And that is, I want to thank the two big sponsors that have came on board in the last coming weeks. If you remember, one of our last guests on our last show was Terry McKay. Terry McKay talked about, you know, Danny Kugel's online class, you know, pitbullsbarbecueschool.com, and, you know, how that had made a big difference for him and how he cooked Danny's direct recipe off of his site and you know, one brisket in Amelia Island against some pretty badass brisket cooks. Really good ones. You know, Jimmy Brode and a whole slew of guys there that cook brisket. And you know, he wins brisket and then takes reserve grand at the contest. So, you know, I kind of got to talking to Danny after the show and say, you know, Danny, hey, you know, Terry spoke wonders about it. He said, yeah, hey, let's work out a deal. I'll tell you what, I've looked over about, I've got about another 30 minutes to go on the four classify or on the four categories of videos, and man, it is awesome. Danny does not hold back any secrets. He doesn't hold back anything. I mean, his chicken video on how to prep chicken for a contest is about 45 minutes, and then Danny puts the proof in the pudding and sits there and tells you, hey, this is a video of me at a contest prepping my chicken. Well, it just happens to be that at that contest, when he was filming his prep and his cook and all those things that he shares with you, he just happened to win first place chicken. So Pitbulls Barbecue School, we're so glad to have them on board. We think they're going to do great things for us, and we hope they're going to do great things for the listeners. And they've got one hell of a special running right now. So used to be $550 to get on Danny's site. Gives you access to all four KCBS FBA categories. Gives you recipes, timelines, videos. Danny's got a couple other recipes out there that aren't competition related that are really, really good. I mean, he's got a lot of things. And that was $550. It's now $400. And now Danny has really sweetened the pot. He realized the economy's tough. Maybe a lot of people can't come off that kind of money. Danny, in addition to doing the barbecue school online, he is also, if you decide to sign up, or you decide to take his live class, which is going to be in Georgia, October 13th, $400. $400 gets you the live class. It also gets you the online class. And, guys, if y'all don't know Danny Kugel, just go look him up. Pitbull's Up in Smoke. I think he's in the top three or four KCBS Pork Team of the Year. I believe he's in the top 20 KCBS Team of the Year. And Danny has kind of jumped into this thing and taken the world on fire. So go check him out. I just don't think you get a better deal than that. To get his live class from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Saturday the 13th, and then get all the content that's on pitbullsbbqschool.com, you know, that's great. So, you know, if you look at the total economic value of any class out there, I don't see there being any better value out there than that. And we're happy to be partnered with those guys, and just think there's a lot of good barbecue knowledge to come out of it. So want to thank them first. Newest sponsor to come on board is Master Purveyors. For all you guys here in the Central Florida or Florida area, Sean McCraney over at Master Purveyors there in Tampa, He carries it all, brother. He's got the prime Myers briskets. Any prime Myers beef, he's got it. For you guys that don't know what Myers is, Publix has the retail exclusive on Myers. It's what they call their green wise. So all those Myers ribeyes and porterhouses and all those things that, you know, are $10, $12, $13 a pound, Sean's got the wholesale slash distribution rights to Myers. So Myers Prime is really, really good beef. We cook their brisket all the time. Their pork, they've got all the derogatory porks, organic chicken. So all you guys are looking for your competition needs, go over there to Master Purveyors. Sean's been supplying us now for year and a half, 2 years. Great guy, really good to do business with, always takes care of you. It'll bring in some cool stuff. Me and my buddy David Kimbrough wanted to cook Australian Wagyu one time. We had read about it, said, hey, can you get us some Australian Wagyu beef? Got it. What the most amazing thing was how can he get me Australian Wagyu beef for $1.50 a pound cheaper than I can get beef from Snake River Farms here in the same 48? I don't know. Go figure. But at the end of the day, you know, Sean's got, you know, really, really good prices and really, really good meat. Even for your even if it's not competition, even if it's for your vending or just, you know, vending options, it's really, really good. And he's going to give you a great price. He's going to be right there, if not better than Sam's, Costco, and those places. So go over to Master Purveyors in Tampa and look up Sean McCraney, and he will get you taken care of. So let me check on one thing here. All right, we're good. Chat's filling up. All right, awesome. So one of the things I want to talk about is I've had a lot of questions about what's coming up for us, you know, for me and for Whiskey Bent Barbecue and some of those things. Upcoming contest, non-Whiskey Bent Barbecue related. Next weekend, grilling and chilling in Lake Alfred, Florida. Going to be cooking that with my buddy David Kimbrough from All Racked Up. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. You know, last time me and Kimbrough got together, you know, perfect scoring brisket happened. Third place overall happened. It was a lot of fun, but this is going to be a little bit different. This is in Bricks and Sticks, which is a small association we have here in the Central Florida area that is kind of focused on the barbecue. So no gurus, no pellet cookers, anything that's got to be plugged in can't be plugged in. So you don't know what we're going to cook on. Me and David are still kicking it around. He's got a spice wine. I got a Stumps. We got the Lane 36. We got the Weber kettle. Last time we talked, which was this morning at the gym, we think if Lake Alfred will let us, we may just dig a damn hole out there and cook all four categories, you know, over an open pit for real. So we'll see. We'll probably kind of try to hone that in here between this week and next Friday night. So we'll find out what we're going to do there. But any of you guys that are in the Central Florida area, you know, good payouts, Bricks and Sticks, it's always a fun time. David talked me into it because he said he just really enjoyed it last year. So you guys are on the fence looking for something to do next weekend, Bricks and Sticks, grilling and chilling, Lake Alfred, Florida. It should be a good time. I'll be there. David will be there, and hopefully we'll do pretty well. Other upcoming contests to kind of close out our year, Mulberry, it's an FBA event, October 12th and 13th. Looking forward to that. It's about 5 minutes from the house. Going to be doing some cool things with our sponsor, Magnify Credit Union. But it's always fun. Have a lot of people coming out, family and friends. It's just good to see a lot of people, and it's really, really cool. So looking forward to that contest. Last KCBS contest of the year for us will be in Plant City, November 16th and 17th. That's a good contest. I'm a little concerned. You know, Amy always does a good job over there at Plant City Chamber of Commerce. But that contest 2 years ago would bring some of the best KCBS teams in the country. And now with the National Barbecue Cup up in Atlanta, you know, they're expecting 100-plus teams this year. They're taking a lot of that traffic away from us. But we're still going to have a good time, even if it's a bunch of us Florida teams. And I know it sounds like Byron's Butt Rub is committed to the contest. And IAB 30, which won the contest last year out of Arizona, I believe they're coming back. So we're going to have some good, you know, outside of the state of Florida talent. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But we're looking forward to it. It'll be our 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. It'll be our sixth year at over there in Plant City, and it's always a good contest. And like I said, the Chamber of Commerce does a great job. And they raise a ton of money. And then we're going to close out the year with a non-sanctioned contest, and that's going to be here in Lakeland at Southern Fun Fly-In over there at Lakelander Airport, and it's called When Pigs Fly South, just a little chicken and ribs contest. It's going to be December 1st, a Saturday, and we're looking forward to going out there supporting those guys. They've got some really big visions, and if you guys don't know, the Southern Fun Fly-In that happens here in the spring in Lakeland is tremendous. And anytime those guys get their mind and their head behind something, they're going to do it big, kind of short notice. They wanted to integrate some barbecue with one of their smaller fly-ins here in the winter. And we're going to go out and support it, man. Just like I've always told you, I'm going to support contests that are going to bring money to the cookers, that are going to bring more options, more variety. And I'm not going to support contests that are trying to, reduce our payout, not be cooker-friendly, those kind of things. And I'll tell you what, when you look at When Pigs Fly, the space that's out at Sun and Fun, the ties that Sun and Fun has with Hard Rock Casino over in Tampa and some of the things, I'll tell you what, we get a good turnout at this contest next year, I bet there would be one about the same time of year that would probably be $15,000, $20,000 payout. That's how serious these guys are. So we're going to see what happens, but we're going to support them. Talk to Jared today. Whiskey Bend Barbecue will be cooking When Pigs Fly South on December 1st. Here in Lakeland. All right, guys, let me take a look here. I believe maybe my guy, there he is. I'm going to go ahead and go over. I had a little more intro to get into with you, but, we got in late and this and that. So I'm just going to go over to this old fella named Rob Marion.
Rob. How we going? What's up, bud?
How you doing, man? Long time no call.
I'm telling you what, man, it's they've been keeping me busy this time around out here, so haven't been even much in the chat room, so I missed out on a lot, and, you come through Fayetteville and don't let me know you're in town, that's all right.
Boy, I was hoping to get to say I was sorry before you zinged me with it, my friend.
I come out with a sledgehammer.
Honestly, Robin, I'm not BSing here, I'm not baby-facing. I thought you were just up there kind of on assignment for a couple of weeks. I didn't know that's where you were doing your, 6 or 9 month contract.
Correct.
I'm really going to blame it on, because I coordinated a visit with him for a week, I'm blaming it on Corey.
Oh, man. Give him the serial number off that bus. And he's getting ready to open up his doors this week. So,
dude, he can't defend himself. Exactly, but you've been there. You've kind of seen it. Man, I think he's got the perfect little spot to get something off the ground there. What do you think, Rob?
He's been pulling the shack out there, and he's been selling out within an hour. The other day he said that, they were turning on the lights and the signs, and they had to turn away 100 people just because they weren't ready to be open yet. It was just that they were turning everything on. And that the community has really wrapped themselves around him, and he's going to do well for him and his family.
I'll tell you what, I was there 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he wanted to turn the sign on. He's like, hey, man, I want you to check out the sign, turned it on, and then we kind of forgot to turn it off and walked back inside. And I would guarantee his brother went out there and told 8 to 10 people, and this was only 20, 30 minutes. Told 8 to 10 people, hey, man, we're not open. We're not doing anything. And, I think he's got a great following there. And I just like the spot. I think it's nothing that's too big that it's going to be overbearing from a overhead point of view or anything like that. And Corey's going to get to focus on what Corey likes to focus on, and that's just quality barbecue, keeping it basic, and making people happy.
Yep. We'll throw Corey underneath the bus for that one, and he can't defend himself, so.
Yeah, we'll go ahead. Maybe he'll just catch you on the archives 2 or 3 weeks from now and yell at me. So, bro, I want to kind of go, it's going to take us going back a year to talk a little bit about this Jack Daniel's thing. I saw, a week or two ago where you said, hey, finally got the news, I'm going to the Jack. Without me trying to pull it out of you question by question, I'm going to be quiet for a second. Why don't you kind of lay the groundwork on all that, on the way all that happened? And I'll tell you what, I think it's pretty damn cool the way it did.
Well, it was, it's a lot of people that did a lot of the letter writing and people I don't know. But last year when I got pulled for the jack for the Ohio homestead exemption, I had soldiers coming in from Afghanistan that had some hard times, and I've been working with their families ahead of time getting ready for these guys to come back, and it happened to fall on the same weekend as the jack. And, you know, the jack, yeah, that's where we want to go, but, you know, it's not a question of doing the right thing. It's my job. I mean, that's what I do, is working with the soldiers. So, I mean, you know, you just do your job. And, you know, I hated to sit there and turn it away. And, you know, I always laugh because I sit there and say, well, I'm an Ohio team, and there's really, you know, barbecue is starting to grow up in there, and it's starting to pick up. But usually it was, you know, hey, if I win a contest somewhere, you know, at least I'll get the Ohio homestead exemption. You know, wasn't the case this year. There's another couple of teams that Get a Q and Velvet Smoke. Velvet Smoke won a couple in Indiana, and then Get a Q won this big contest. One of my favorite contests is Madison, Indiana. And Get a Q sat there and pulled that one out. So then all of a sudden it's like, man, you know, it's a 1-3 shot. And didn't get pulled for that. And so, you know, congratulated Get a Q for getting pulled. And just let it go. And I got the email about the customized barrel heads. And, you know, I got it last year, too. And so I got in contact with the folks at the Jack. And I said, I don't know if you got me on the email list accidentally or you didn't take me off from last year. I said, but my understanding is I didn't get pulled. And they went ahead and they were like, well, Miss Marion, you know, we understand what happened last year. And you've had quite a people that have written letters in. And, you know, of course, Jack Daniels being the supporter of the troops, you know, we don't want you to miss out on the opportunity that you had last year. So we decided to extend that invitation on one more year and invite you this year.
Wow. That's amazing. Dude, that is pretty awesome. You know, I mean that makes you really appreciate that a company that large that kind of got brought to the forefront. You know what I'm saying?
Well, them ladies have been awesome. You know, and it was just like I heard my name pulled the first time. You know, I mean, it was awesome. And then knowing, you know, a bunch of my friends that are going to be there, and I get to share that experience with them that I didn't get to last year. So, I mean, you know, just looking forward to it and going there and put together a good cook and just have some good times and memories with friends.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man, I've been pushing it around back and forth on, you know, I've had 4, 5, 6 people say, hey, you going to go to the Jack? Are you going to go to the Jack? And me and Steve Coddington have talked about it. Steve's going down there. And I think I'm just going to come down there. I'll come up there and just, you know, go enjoy it. Just, you know, go hang out with the teams and, you know, have a good time. And, you know, maybe we can do some, you know, maybe we can do some interviews, something. I mean, whatever. I don't want to take people off their game. That's, you know, one of the biggest contests, you know, out there. But,
well, you know, you got the size of a good offensive lineman, so I'm sure somebody somewhere can grab you for some blocking.
Dude, hey, I've never had to do it, but I'll run as a blocker for a box, man. I'll do that. All it's going to cost them is 2 natty lights per category.
You know, it's going to be sitting there and being, of course, real quiet and subtle, which is always you. And no, it's just it's fun. I enjoy watching the teams take off with a runner up in front and just, you know, somebody running with a cowbell and, you know, by golly, it's clear out and let us go.
Looks like an old high school 32 belly option. Just
it's
get
awesome.
In there. So, no.
I mean,
but Rob, on so many levels, that had to, I mean, that really had to kind of hit home. You know what I mean? Because you made the decision last year for all the right reasons. And, but then this year for a company that big with so much going on and, you know, that there's people that always, you know, have always in the past stewed shit about the Jack, like Harry and those guys. But for a huge company like that to realize, you know, hey, no, this is a guy that passed on, and I guess they realize, I mean, this, you may only get this one shot in the sun, all of us barbecue cook teams. You know what I'm saying? We don't know what the next year holds. And for them to respond like that, I mean, I just think it had to give you chills, brother.
I'm grateful for it, the opportunity to go and do that, because they didn't have to. You know, they could have sat there and just said, hey, you know, sorry, you had your chance. And, you know, at least last year, nobody else had to worry about finishing the AL because they didn't take me out. So I finished that DAL for them. And so it was just like, okay. And I don't know when the last time somebody finished with a 0-0-0 at the check, but if I was the first one, so be it.
Hey, man, at least you saved somebody else from going DAL.
Oh, yes. And you know, I've got the hotel reservations made. Got a few good guest appearances that want to come out and see what competition barbecue is about. And, you know, it's going to be pretty interesting.
That's awesome, man. That is really good. And like I said, I hope to make everything line up with my work schedule and hopefully see you in the holler, as they say.
Well, and if you'll, I'm going to sit there and I'm getting ready to post some pictures. The flame job will be gone.
Really?
The flame job is in the process of being removed. The new paint scheme, I'm not going to talk about, but that's where it's going to be unveiled, is at the Jack this year.
Wow. There you hear it, folks. Rob Mayer. Now, hold on. You know, this was on my list of questions to ask you. I did believe I saw a post out there on Facebook kind of trolling here a couple weeks ago about, was anybody interested in maybe trading for a Jambo?
Well, I'm wanting to, you know, I mean, it's hard being, I've got Cowboy Dan, but he doesn't ever come and cook. Just being that one-person team out in the elements, and so I was wanting to switch to a toy hauler model and just be able to sit there and kind of get out of the elements and do that. Well, I figured out that if you buy a car hauler, that you can still strap the Jambo down and kind of design your kitchen area the way that you want and have enough room. So I decided, you know, I mean, I had a few people that had contacted me about it, and, you know, she wasn't going to go for free. It was less than I had into her, but nobody was interested at the time. So I just decided that I'd go ahead and redo the paint scheme the way that I wanted to. And I'm really super excited. I dropped it off state for powder coating, and then it goes to the painter. So it's going to be, again, you know, I've stepped up the design on that. It's probably going to be one of the most unique Jambos out there.
That's awesome, brother. So talk to me a little bit about, it sounds like you're kind of changing the outfitting of the rig. And if you guys that have never cooked a contest with Rob, let me tell you what his rig usually looks like. His truck pulling the Jambo with one, if he's splurging, maybe two 10x10s. And you know, I don't know if you're a hotel room guy or not, Rob. We never got that far in this relationship.
I'm a hoteler.
Yeah, and so, but no, I mean, you'll see him out there, man. I mean, I remember seeing you in Nelsonville last year. We got our teeth kicked in. It was raining like a sumbitch. And you had the Jambo, and you were under one 10x10, and your truck was parked right behind you.
Yeah, that one was one that the weather was not nice to us that year, and didn't go to a hotel. It was sleeping in the front seat of the truck, and it was a rough one, and the scores reflected it.
So you think you're staying with the Jambo, new pit, you know, new paint job. So rig wise, are you looking at like a car? I mean, what are you looking at there?
It's a I'm supposed to go pick it up this weekend after I get back from Ohio. I just found a car hauler where, you know, can slide her up in, has enough room, enough height. And then there's enough additional room that I can have my kitchen prep area.
Oh, shit. You're talking about like a two-story car hauler.
Well, not like the up and down. It's just long. It's 24 feet long, 8.5 feet wide.
Oh, that's beautiful.
and can just strap the tires down, got the straps for that, and given that most of the car haulers, you know, they maybe have a couple of cabinets, well, I'd sit there and give me the off season to get the kitchen and prep area the way that I want, and just be able to take a cot and sleep in that comfort and actually get to spend time with other teams instead of hiding at the hotel.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, that's awesome. And plus, you just know that there's just a peace of mind of being there, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know, and even with that, Jimbo, I mean, how often really, once you fire it up, are you putting a stick on? Maybe
once an hour.
Once an hour. But, I mean, even for that chance, okay, so you go, you throw a log on. You know, people don't realize the chance at a contest just to get vertical.
Yep.
You know, just to lay down in a bed or a cot or a futon in our case, whatever it is, it's just something about getting vertical, getting out of that chair, changing the blood flow. That just, even if it's once an hour and you've got your phone alarm set, it's still more relaxing than sitting in a camp chair and kind of just, you know, nodding your head every 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then there's something to be said for, you know, having some rest. You know, I always sit there, it doesn't help me cook better, but it helps me recover from mistakes better if I'm rested and refreshed. And I've kind of felt it this year, you know. I mean, drive 2,200 miles to do a couple of contests, and, you know, it was brutal.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, dude. That was one of the things, man. Your beginning of this year was epic, man. Traveling all over the place, and then, you know, your pit masters thing, and it was just too cool, man. And that's the one thing I wanted to end on before we go over to your good buddy Todd there at Plowboys. Once again, I want to thank you for having him. Maybe saying, you know, hey, Chad's not a serial killer. You can come on the show. You have a good time with him. I appreciate that. But dude, how's life been after pit masters? Do you find people, you know, coming up, saying anything? Does it seem to be more of a contest thing and not a public thing? You know, what are you getting?
It's been varied. The one thing that I do love about traveling around the country is that teams that are regional specific, I mean, you know, they want to come up and find out, one, why you're there, you know? And I mean, it's just like, why'd you pick here? And I wanted to come out and see people, and, you know, I mean, you can only chat so much on bulletin boards and Facebook with people, and, you know, then it's time to get out and meet them. But everywhere that I've been, I mean, you know, the dual contest that they did in Mesa was amazing. At the Harley dealership for their bike week. I mean, welcome to you. And, you know, the team with the highest score after 2 days left with a Harley.
That's kind of cool.
How many times does that happen? You know, not a sitting there, and it wasn't a Harley trophy. By golly, they got one out the box.
Yeah.
And so Pigskin took that one away. But, I mean, you know, it was just one of those that it was a unique opportunity. I'm a Harley guy, and geez, I'm going to go cook for a Harley.
Absolutely. So how much longer are you in Fayetteville under contract?
I leave here the 9th, the 18th, actually, and head up. I'm going to do Nelsonville before the Jack.
Going back up to Nelsonville.
But I'm not doing it on the Jambo. Like I said, she won't get pulled out of the trailer until I get to Lynchburg, and I think that just kind of adds to the specialness of it.
So what you going up there and cooking on?
I'm going to sit there and cook on Cowboy Dan's Southern Pride.
Oh, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, you know, he's sitting there and he's been chastising me about not cooking on, you know, this, that, and the other thing. I said, fine, then we'll just take beers and we'll go and have fun with it.
Hey, that works for me.
But wanting to support the Ohio contest, I mean, I'm flying up this weekend to do one in Xenia that's a fundraiser for the Fisher House. And, you know, I know the organizer really well. And that one, I'm just going up, and whatever I win is going back to the Fisher House. They're a phenomenal organization that do a lot for the families of the service members. And, you know, so it was just like I get to go see all of my Ohio peeps and kind of hang out. And, you know, it's been a while since I got to be a rock star and just fly into one.
Yeah, no. Is that the one that I saw your name was on the banner of?
Yeah. Jim, I was like, oh, my God, you know, thanks for putting bullseye on my back.
Is it Jim Ferguson?
Yeah.
You're right, man. Yeah. He is a good friend. He's a great organizer.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he's taking care of me. He's going to let me cook on the Fast Eddies and have his mobile home there for me. And, you know, I've been having supplies shipped there and meat shipped there all week. And, you know, just fly in. He'll pick me up and cook and hang out with friends and come back Sunday.
Well, dude, brother, we're going to hope karma's right. And you win that GC this weekend, and you put all that money back into worthwhile cause, my friend.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of the teams up there are kind of aiming at it, giving back. It's not a big payout, but, you know, Jim takes care of people at his contest. And,
yeah.
And you know, I just couldn't say no to the Fisher House.
As another guy that's cooked to a Jim's contest, I will say you're absolutely right. He's a great guy, and he's very, very cooker friendly.
Oh, God, yes, yeah. Cooks don't need at his contest, and if you do need, you didn't need it.
If you do need, you didn't speak up is the problem.
Well, I mean, it's at the campground, so it's full power and full water at each site, and, you know, looking forward to it and seeing all the old-timey tractors. But, yeah, I definitely had to thank him for putting the bulls on my back.
You got any quick rundown of the team list there? Some of your top three or four you're worried about?
My buddy's still smoking, is dusting off his smoker, and he's coming from Indiana. And me and him, we cooked together last year at the Cummings Barbecue Festival. And he's one of the best cooks up there in that area. He's kind of taking the summer off. But since he said that, I saw that you were there and you were the pit master, I had to come. And so it was like, great. Again, that bullet. Velvet Smoke will be there. So, I mean, it's another one of them Ohio teams. It's a qualifier. So, you know, I'm definitely wanting to win one in Ohio and get that leg up on that one. I think that they were saying that if Mike Richter could get his wife to fly out, that he'd stop by and cook. But, you know, they still got spots available, so if there's anybody within driving distance, it's a good contest, and Jim takes care of it.
Awesome. Awesome, brother. Well, Rob, I appreciate once again having you in the pit, my friend. I think it's honorable and just that you're going to be at the Jack this year. Wish you all the best of luck. And win, place, or show, I'd like you to go ahead and commit to being on the week after and talk to us about the Jack Daniels experience, my friend.
Oh, you have a reservation accomplished.
Excellent, man. And hopefully, like I said, we'll see you in Lynchburg. And be safe and best of luck this weekend, man. Hope you take it all down.
I appreciate it much, Big Bob.
All right, brother. Take care, Rob.
All right, now let's have some FOMA Todd.
All right, let's do it. Full pans, I hear. Full pans.
That's the ticket.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, now.
All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, before we get over to Todd, a couple things I want to hit on. A couple of longtime sponsors of Whiskey Mint Barbecue. First one, Cosmos Q. CosmosQ.com. They have all your injections. They have their sauce. They have their rubs. And Darian's got a pretty cool-ass promotion going on right now. There's some details around it, so you're going to want to check out his Facebook over at Cosmos Q. But he is stating that if you follow these things, and he's not asking for much. He's asking for you to register, post a picture, do some things. But if you're to do that and you're to be the winner of the American Royal Invitational or the Jack Daniels Invitational, Darian's going to cut you a check right there on the spot, $1,000. He's also going to do the same thing for the American Royal Open winner, $500. So go over there to Cosmos Q, check out the kind of the rules and the details around the contest. But it's not, Darian's not asking for much. He's not asking you to sign over your firstborn. He's not asking you to do anything crazy. He's just wanting people, you know, he doesn't want somebody to win the American Royal invite and then 2 days later say, yeah, use Cosmos Q. And Darian cut him a check. No, he just wanted you to be in poker the world, as we call it, pot committed, and say, no, I'm going to the Royal. I'm using Cosmos Q on my pork or on my beef or wherever it is. I'm using it. Here's my picture on Darian's Facebook. And if you do that and then you win either Jack Daniels or the American Royal Invitational, he's going to cut you a $1,000 check. If you do it at the American Royal Open, he's going to cut you a $500 check. That's pretty damn cool. In other news, talking about money being thrown around, let's talk about Green Mountain Grills, GMG, greenmountaingrills.com. They've got a video recipe submission contest going on right now. What are they asking for? They're asking the 2 to 4 minute video of you cooking on your GMG and telling folks about a recipe. If you're the one that gets selected to win, you're going to get $500 and a Daniel Boone remote grill. So that's 400 square inches of cooking space, remote controlled. And I'm going to tell you what, guys, being a GMG guy and having them with remotes, it's real sweet. It's pretty baller, to be honest. That's got a November 6th deadline, and the winner's going to be announced on, you know, November 15th. Unless I can talk Jason into moving that up until the 13th, and maybe we can announce that winner right here on the air. I don't know if we can do it yet. I'm gonna bend his ear a little bit, see if we can make it happen. But once again, go over to greenmountaingrills.com, check out their recipe video submission contest. 2 minutes, your best video recipe on a GMG, and they got to be in by November 6th. So now that we've got all the public service announcements out of the way, we're going to go over to Todd Johns. Todd, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. Just getting home from a long day at work and seeing my kids and starting to enjoy the evening.
Well, that's great, man. Well, I appreciate you taking time out of it, carving out 30, 45 minutes for us. I got to say, like I said earlier in the intro, without it sounding too ass-kissing-ish, you know, it's just an honor to have you on the show. I feel like Plowboys is one of those, you know, brands right there with Blues Hog and Competition Barbecue. And you know, I can remember when we were cutting our teeth, man. We lived off Yardbird and Bovine Bold, and to have the guy that's, you know, kind of behind those products on the show tonight means a lot to me. So I appreciate you coming out.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, to be even mentioned in the same sentence as Blues Hog and Bill Arnold is about as big of an honor as you could give me, because I just look up to Bill and what he's done over many, many years. And, you know, if we can even touch the floor of where Bill's standing, that's a huge accomplishment for us. So I appreciate that.
Absolutely, man. It's heartfelt. And I'll tell you one thing about Bill. I had the chance. I hate to see it. It's a contest that's not happening this year, and that's the best of the best, where they invited the best, you know, the top 10 from the year before from all the sanctioning bodies to come down to Waycross, Georgia, and cook. And old Kel Phelps always put up good money.
Yep, Kel's a good guy. I like Kel.
Man,
I had a chance to meet Kel a few times.
And, you know, and Kel would put up good money, and he would put on a hell of a contest. And I got a chance to meet Bill down there at the last Best of the Best. And you talk about a guy that just, and I've talked about on the show once or twice, just a guy that would, you know, I wouldn't say he'd take his shoes off his feet for you because you usually don't have mom. But he'd take the shirt off his back for you. Just a good fellow. And still, as much success as Blues Hog has had, very humble. You know, just
absolutely.
A very humble, you know, so appreciative of the barbecue community. So willing to give back, and just such a, you know, such a good, you know, good man.
Yeah,
so,
there's no one that runs into Bill and doesn't walk away going, you know, man, that was a great conversation. That guy's a straightforward, humble guy. You know, I mean, that's just the way Bill is. That's the way he comes across, and that's how everybody takes him. But yeah, we've had the fortune of knowing Bill for many years, even before we started cooking.
Really?
We were, you know, back around 2000. My brother-in-law is the one who really got us started. And he had known about this Blues Hog sauce. Now, of course, we live in Missouri, and Bill's mid-Missouri guy. And so there was this, you know, sauce that my brother-in-law had heard of called Blues Hog, and so he was starting to do some cooking and small catering things around town, and so he had reached out, you know, and asked Bill, you know, got a hold of Bill and got some sauce from him, and before you knew it, Randy was distributor in the local area where he lived for Bill, and I distributed a couple of years for Bill in the Kansas City area, and this was back, you know, 2001, 2002, 2003 back then. So that's really where I really kind of got to know some of the stores, got to meet some of the store owners, was introductions, because I was walking in with Bill's product, you know, saying, hey, I'm here on, you know, behalf of Blues Hog, and, you know, making sure you got what you need. And then in 2007, when we came out with Yardbird, you know, I went back to those couple of those stores and said, hey, would you mind carrying me too? And I tell you what, that relationship has
goes a long way.
Not only meant so much then, but it means a lot today. And
yep.
I think that's been a lot of the secret of our success, is building and maintaining that relationship. And when I first came out with Yardbird, we purposely did not launch an online store. And to this day, we still do not have an online store. You can't purchase from us directly. Now, if you see us at a contest or something, I probably have some product, or I'll bring you some or whatever. But, I mean, 95% or more of what we sell is through retailers. And my philosophy was this. I had absolutely no brand. I had absolutely no name at the time. And all I had was this product. And I knew that if the store wasn't going to sell a shaker and I was going to sell it on my store, then I was going to end up on their clearance rack pretty quickly. And so I didn't want to compete with them. And that was kind of my own philosophy. I never really verbalized it or anything. And about, you know, 6 months into it or something, a couple of them said something. Boy, we sure appreciate that you don't compete with us for sales. And right there, the light bulb clicked. You know, it was like, wow, that was a really good decision. And to this day, you know, we still don't have an online store. We may change that here, but I think at this point we're not going to hurt them if we sold a few shakers on our own and tried to get, you know, to reach some people that maybe know us and are not in the barbecue space, if you will. But anyway, that
a lot of that
introduction I credit to Bill and our relationship with him in the early days when we were doing stuff that had nothing to do with Plowboys. So,
well, you know, couple things to the comments you just made. One is, I come from a business in my personal life where I believe, you know, kind of when you pick a distribution channel, you pick a distribution channel.
Right.
If it's B2B, it's B2B. Now, that doesn't mean that later on, I mean, you've held a B2B distribution channel for 5 years. You know, so, you know, you come off to me as the kind of guy that if you do decide to go B2C, you're going to call your partners that mean something to you, Great Lakes, Hawkeyes,
yep,
those guys, and explain yourself.
Well, I tell you what, even when we went to Bass Pro 3 years ago, I contacted at the time the folks that were my, you know, big specialty market retailers, and we were purely specialty market. I contacted a few of them and I said, hey, I just want to give you a heads up, this is coming. But I really think it's going to help all of us. I don't think this is going to steal from you guys. I think it's going to promote the brand. I think it's going to create brand awareness. And I think in the end, it's really going to help all of us. And it's a win-win-win and not, you know, Bass Pro wins, Plowboys wins, you lose. And also, you know, it was the same thing. I was surprised by the reaction I got. People, you know, the retailers saw the same thing. And in the end, you know, we went, the year that we did that, the year that we won the American Royal in 2009, we sold about 3,500 pounds of rub that year. Last year, so fast forward, last year we went through 20,000 pounds of seasoning.
Wow.
This year we've already surpassed that. We hit that at the end of July. And now anything from August 1st to the end of the year is all growth. We're looking at 35,000 pounds of seasoning this year. So, you
wow.
know, that's pushing the brand. Everyone's winning on that deal, you know. Everyone that's doing a good job in their retail space is winning on that deal.
Well, let me tell you, you know, Todd, just from an outsider looking in, I see two ways that they're winning. One is that there's not Bass Pro Shops everywhere. I mean,
right.
We're kind of lucky. We've got one in Orlando. It's a 45-minute or hour drive. But if I'm in a pinch on a I would just go and order it from Great Lakes Barbecue Supply before I, you know, get in the car, drive over there, and do this and that. But I think for those people that are, you know, Bass Pro Shops gets a ton of tourist, quote unquote, travel.
Mm-hmm.
And so those may be the guys that they go in, they pick up a shaker of this, a shaker, you know, shaker Yardbird, shaker Bovine Bowl. And they go, you know, and they go back to Styx, Georgia. You know, they're done with vacation. Where can I find this at? Boom, they're going to look at an online retailer.
Yep.
And, you know, and there it is. You know, it's the guys that have supported you and you've supported.
Yep.
My number two thing is, it's economies of scale. If you're making up more product for Bass Pro Shops, well, guess what? There should be a little bit of savings there in your batch cost, and hopefully you can push that on to your online retailers. So it's kind of a win-win from an outsider looking in.
Yeah, you would think that's the case, but you'd be surprised how much it takes to get those discounts.
I put you on the hook, my friend.
No, that's fine. You know, and this year is really the first year we've really pushed our batch sizes up because we're turning it a lot faster. And we turn product we turn Yardbird every 4 to 5 weeks. I don't hold on to it more than 4 to 5 weeks maximum. And we're talking, you know, right now we're turning about 2,300 pounds in that time frame, just of Yardbird. And so, you know, it stays fresh, but, you know, at that point we can start talking a little bit of discount. But I tell you what, we've had 4 price increases since we've started, and it's going to continue. I mean, the cost of food and groceries and stuff in this country is going to continue to go up. We have absorbed all those price increases ourselves and not passed those on to our retailers in that time. You know, so but we're compensating that for volume, and I'm okay with that. You know, there'll be a time where we won't be able to do that any longer. But now that we're a little bigger, we can kind of absorb some of those price increases with volume discounts too. So it doesn't necessarily mean more money in our pocket, but it means you know, we're able to absorb some of that cost that I think that's coming.
No, that well, and that's good because I mean you realize how it is too. I mean, anytime a retailer on bricks and mortar has to pass something through, it's kind of a you know it's kind of nasty and it kind of makes you know life difficult. But you know, as a manufacturer, you know, being able to put those at arm's length as much as you can is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So this has been a great and interesting journey because this is not. You know, I'm not a product marketing guy. I'm not a product manufacturing guy. You know, I'm an IT guy, and 5 years ago just kind of, you know, stupidly did this, I guess,
yeah.
jumped into this and, you know, learned a ton. And but yet there's still so much in this space that I'm still learning and trying to learn and trying to, you know, make work in our favor.
You know, so what we kind of got the product cart ahead of the competition cart, and I'm fine with that.
Sure.
Will you talk a little bit about how you decided to come up with, hey, let's bottle this and let's put it out there?
All right. Well, how about we do this? Let's reverse the cart and we'll work up to that. So
okay. So
I met it all starts with like a woman, right? So all good stories start with a woman somewhere. So I met my wife about 14 years ago, and as we were dating, you know, it wasn't too long before I met the family. And my wife's the youngest child in her family, and her two older brothers had been married for quite a while. And so I was kind of the newest person to kind of walk into this family in probably a decade or maybe a little more. So I'm walking in, and it's a pretty established group, and, you know, that can be a little uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. So her oldest brother probably felt sympathy for me, and would, you know, try to find something to talk about. And so we ended up talking about barbecue, talking about cooking, and I hadn't done too much of it, but I was starting to cook a little bit in my backyard. And he is a pork producer and has done a lot of things nationally and with the Missouri Pork Association, and had done some big cooks with them, state fairs, promotional deals and whatnot. So he's telling me about, I learned a ton about pork from Randy, things that I take for granted probably now that I didn't know back then, and all the different cuts. And
did he teach you the money muscle?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, we would talk barbecue, we talk cooking, and then about a year later, wife and I get married, and he says, you know, we should try and enter one of these barbecue competitions. I said, well, before. So we set out to take a judging class at the American Royal. This was about 2000, I believe. And then the idea was, let's learn what the judging is, and then the next, you know, then we'll enter a contest. So then in 2001, we entered our first contest. We did like three little non-sanctioned deals, and that's kind of where it started. Well, after we had done that, we thought, well, we kind of suck, so we better figure out how to turn in some better food than we are. So we took a couple of local classes from, you know, guys here in town. And so one of them, you made your own rub, and so we sat and made a rub, and I was like, you know, and I was kind of a little foodie maybe back then, and so I was like, well, I kind of like this, and I like that, and we put something together, and it turned out to be what we know today as Yardbird Rub.
Really?
And we just sat and put it together. We cooked with it. We liked it. It was our salmon rub, and so we tried it in competition from about 2002 until 2007. And we would use it, we'd put it away, we'd try it again, we'd put it away, and it never seemed to really work for us. Well, we were always blaming the rub, and what we then later realized, we were just terrible chicken cooks. And so fast forward then to about 2006, and Randy is starting to peel away from barbecue contests with me and starting to do some roadside vending. And he bought a trailer, a concession trailer. And as he was doing that, he says, man, I'd sure love to have something with our name on it where I could put on the counter and people might buy that. And so we talked about this for a year. And I said, well, you know, the only recipe we even have is this rub, is our chicken rub. That's what it was called, you know. And so I played around with it. I had a friend that was a spice dealer and a distributor, and he got me some stuff, and I would sit and play with it, and I sent out some samples through the Barbecue Brethren. I had posted something in January of 2007. Hey, I've got this rub. Would anyone like to try it? You know, first 10 people or something, I'll send you a sample. Well, I ended up getting like 24 people wanting some from all over the country. So this night in January of 2007, I'm sitting in the kitchen with a bunch of baggies, a thing of rub, and a scale, and I'm like a drug dealer in my living room measuring out 2-ounce baggies of rub, throwing them in envelopes and sending them in the mail. And the response we got back was, you know, everyone was like, man, this is great. And so we thought, we've got to do this. Took a little bit of money. I mean, this all started with about $400. And bought some shakers from Freund Container, and the one thing that I did was I invested in labels, and I had to spend a little more per label, but I wanted a good label. I didn't want something that I made on my laser printer. I didn't want something that looked homemade, and I wanted a good design. Yep. And the label that you see on the Yardbird today is pretty much the same label we started with. And I knew that I'd be competing against Perception.
Yep.
And if you have a label that looks like your, you know, Uncle Bobby or whatever did it, then, or your nephew did it or whatever, or, you know, well, I got to use this label because, you know, my uncle drew or my aunt drew it, and so if I don't use this, she's going to be pissed. You know, forget all that. It's got to be something that's going to stand out. And now at this time, we hadn't even, you know, won any contests yet. No one knew who we were. We had absolutely no brand. All we had was a label and a product. And so we bottle it. We throw it into the Great American Barbecue Contest 2 weeks after I got the labels. We bottled some products, sent it off to the Great American, and threw a few out to some friends that were using it already. At that contest in May, my buddy Andy Groneman of Smoke on Wheels uses it and gets first place chicken in the open out of 250 teams.
Woo!
Boom. I mean, that was huge for us. And of course, Andy tells everybody, because that's the kind of guy he is. You know, he knows that it means something to me, you know, that he used it. And so, you know, he's going to support me. And Andy's been our biggest cheerleader from day one. And we wouldn't be, again, going back to, you know, probably Bill's influence on who we are today, Andy's influence is probably as greater. I mean, I really can't pay back enough of what Andy's done for us. And so then the other thing that happens at the Great American, and this is probably the end of the story, but
yeah, no problem.
The other thing that happens at the Great American is we win number one hot rub out of all the hot rubs. And then we also win with the same exact product, the number two mild rub. And so here we are with, you know, the same batch of Yardbird. We're number one hot. We're number two mild. Trim Tab, which is a great product, was the pig powder, was the only product that was the only rub that beat us. And they ended up being the overall rub. We were number two, obviously. But they were also the number one overall product out of all the sauces, all the rubs, all the base, and all the marinades. Well, we were number two. So you got to figure there was probably 600-700 products in that whole contest, and we were number two out of all of them. And
wow.
That was huge. And that probably put us on the map. And then 2 years later, when the American Royal really put us on the map.
Well,
And the good year that we had in 2009 kind of really got us some attention, and the product started taking off a lot then.
That's what I wanted to talk about, was that kind of 2009. As I go back and look at your history, and it kind of all cultivated with, you know, obviously the huge win of the Invitational in 2009.
Yep.
What did that feel like to you? What was it like going into that year? Did you know you had been kind of cooking in the quote-unquote off-season, and you had, you know, your stuff together? Or, you know, what was it that just made – I mean, that year had to feel really, really good.
Well, that year I cooked, I believe, 22 contests. And if you look at all of the wins, they're all at the end of the year. And I typically am a second half of the year cook. And if you look at most of my recent years, it's always second half of the year is always better finishes. And leading up to the Royal, our last three American Royals, I mean, anyone would take them. You know, we were first in 2008, we won the pork category. 2009, we win brisket in the overall in the open. 2010, finished eighth in the Invitational and fifth in the open with a second place chicken. And then last year, took a chicken call in the Invitational, and then took seventh chicken, fourth ribs in the open, and ninth overall. So, you know, in the overalls, two open top tens and two Invitational top tens in 3 years.
That's big.
And so, you know, and all of that is typically me continuing to figure it out as I go along throughout the year.
Well,
and I think that's what happened in 2009 was just, you know, okay, that didn't work. What little thing? And IT guy by trade. I'm a project manager. I'm not a real deep technical guy, but I'm all about process in my job.
Yep.
And so I'm all about eliminating variables, counting my steps, figuring out what does it take for me to get this product done, and can I do it with fewer steps? And that's where the whole foil pans that Rob likes to give me a hard time about is, you know, I take aluminum foil and line my pans. I use just regular metal hotel pans, and I line my pans. And I do that so that when I'm done using them, I just throw the foil away. I typically don't have to wash them before I can use them again. And that's saving me a step. And that all comes from that process-driven way that I approach competition.
Todd, I'd love to say you sound crazy to me, but I, in my last 9 years professionally, I've came from tech side project based to tech side sales based, but still have an influence over projects. So I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
And so what I would say in your barbecue life, you're one of those guys that you do measurable tweaks. You know, if your chicken went seventh at a contest in March, you're going to go, okay, maybe it was lacking here. Maybe it was savory. Maybe it was sweet. Maybe it needs to be done 2 more degrees or less 2 more degrees. You're going to make measurable changes and kind of build on that until the climax of this time of year.
Right. That's it. And things change from year to year. And so I'm making small changes. I'm looking at my process. I'm trying to figure out how can I eliminate things. I've taken, in a year, I've taken my ribs from 11 different ingredients and reduced it down to 2. I've taken...
What?
Yeah. I've taken my ribs. I don't wrap them anymore. That's the other thing. I've taken my rib process down from 9 steps to essentially 3. And I do that because I can do those 3 steps a lot better and with a lot more focus than I can the 9.
Yeah, exactly.
And what I found is my ribs are a lot more consistent and my ribs are placing well. So, you know, that's what it's all about. So.
Absolutely. It's all about where you finish.
Yep. I mean, I'll give you my rib recipe. Yardbird rub and sweet 180 sauce, period, end, done. That's what I've been doing this year, and my rib calls have been decent.
Well, dude, you don't throw that out there on my airways without me digging into it a little bit. What temperature are you cooking at, Todd?
I'm cooking my ribs at 290 degrees for 3 hours.
St. Louis?
Don't wrap them.
St. Louis?
I use baby back ribs.
Baby backs, a man after my own heart.
Yeah,
so 290. So 290 baby backs, 3 hours. You're obviously rubbing them with Yardbird. Do you like to let them set for an hour or so to kind of soak it in? Do you rub the night before? What you think?
What I found was the night before was a little too much.
Yep.
The salt got in them a little too much.
A little hammy.
A little bit, and they could, depending on how early you did them. But I found that they tend to dry out. So the thing with baby back ribs is you've got that loin piece, that
yep.
loin muscle that rides on the one side. And I always felt like I was fighting that muscle. And it would always be overcooked. By the time your rib was cooked, that loin was totally gone, and it was dry. And so what I started doing this year was not wrapping them seemed to help. Not wrapping them. I wrap them once they're cooked. Once they're fully cooked, I wrap them and I let them sit for an hour before I turn them in. And what I found was I wasn't, like, steaming them so much. I wasn't pressure cooking them so much in that foil.
Right. So by not doing that, you weren't steaming off your rub, your color, all those things you'd worked your ass off to get. So instead, you're telling me you cook them 3 hours and then let them rest in foil afterwards?
Yep. What I'll do is I'll cook. Sometimes they're done in 2.5. It just depends on the size. And I try to cook about a 270, a 275 to 3 pound rib.
Man, that's my own heart.
And And so they're big ribs, and the bigger the, you know, the 3-pound rib will take me 3 hours. If they're a little on the punky side from that, you know, like a 2.5, 275, then they might go 2.5 hours or a little more. But I'll let them run until they're absolutely done, bring them in the trailer, sauce them front and back, and then put them in foil, just tented. I don't really crimp.
Yep.
It's crimped closed. They're not vented, but it's, you know, they're just tented so that my sauce will set up.
Yep.
And then I don't put them in a Cambro. I put them in a food, like a pizza carrier kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I leave the opening open. And you know, so they cool down a little faster. But I found that hour really helps a lot. And the other thing I did this year that really helped is I've trimmed away almost all of that loin. And you can't trim it all the way off because you start getting down to the bone, but I'm leaving it about 1/8 of an inch thick. And so all that dry meat is now not even getting cooked. It's gone. But it leaves me enough meat for the rub to stick to and create some bark and all that stuff. And those two things, you know, getting rid of the brown sugar and the honey. I never did use the parquet, but, you know, getting rid of all that stuff. The other thing that I found was whenever I would – my ribs would look great until I wrapped them, and then all that sugar and liquid would wash all my rub off.
Yep.
And wherever there's fat, you don't have adhesion, and the rub would come off. Well, now that doesn't happen to me anymore because I don't have anything that's washing it off. So my ribs end up looking fantastic, you know, compared to these kind of, you know, spotty, some have rubs,
yeah,
some don't, you know, kind of ribs.
That's,
so.
That's pretty awesome. I can only think about like 2 or 3 contests where we cooked where our ribs, for some reason, had just got overdone like an hour before turn-ins. And so we took them, pulled the rack out of the cooker, put it right on the, you know, just put, and what you're saying right now is so adding up to me. We put the rack right on the table in our trailer, and I said, let's paint the front and backs and let them sit. And let them firm back up, right? You know, kind of
yep.
in open air.
Yep.
And I will tell you what, now that I look at back at those 3 contests, I think we finished top 5 in ribs all 3 contests.
Yep.
Because, once again, you didn't boil it all off, like you said, and once you kind of let it, you know, equilibrium, you know, let it get to its equilibrium, and it just turns out, you know, that's actually a great point, Todd.
Yep.
You paid for yourself on the show tonight.
Oh, good.
All the rest of them can be advertising from here. No, I'm just kidding. So a couple things I want to hit. We've obviously got a little long-winded. It's what we do here. Hopefully you've had a good time and we'll be able to rise you back up. But one of the things, just, you know, not ever talking to you, but kind of following you on Facebook. And, one of the things I admire about you is, you know, you've had a great barbecue career. I mean, you've won the Royal Invitational. That's not a lot of people can say that, but I don't think you cook nearly as an aggressive a schedule as you do, because you're so involved with your boys and your kids and your
yep.
family.
Yep.
And you know, there's a great friend of mine down here that I cook with or cook against very regularly, Jimmy Bro, that's the same way. Jimmy will go MIA for 3, 4, 5, 6 months
mm-hmm.
because, you know, him and his wife and his boys, they decided they want to go fishing or they want to do this or they want to do that. Well, guess what? Don't think that Jimmy ain't ready, because he's going to come out of that next contest and put it on you. And I respect you guys. I mean, is that just an easy decision for you that family and kids are number one, and when barbecue can fit in, it fits in?
Yeah, it's tough. I tell you what, I really struggle a lot with balancing things. And, you know, I work a full-time job that has nothing to do with barbecue. It pays our mortgage, and we couldn't walk away from that. I've got 2 boys that I've adopted that, you know, I got to be careful. I'll just break down here on the phone because, I mean, I love those 2 boys more than anything. And when you know when you have kids, whether I guess when you adopt kids, let me put it this way: when you adopt kids, you're making a huge promise to those guys. And when my wife and I adopted Michael and Christian, you know, whether they knew it or not, we made a huge promise to them, and that was to be good parents and to be the best parents we could. Now, I guess I should take that back. I can't promise to be a good parent, but I could promise to try.
Yeah.
And when we had the 2009 year and we cooked, I don't know, 23 contests or whatever, the boys were real little, and I could do that. Then the next year we did 26 contests. And at the end of that, I could start to see the boys are getting older and they need me more. The next year we did 14, and Michael came to probably a good third or more of those, my oldest son,
mm-hmm.
who's now 8 and Christian 7. And I tell my wife and I have had this conversation many times where there's a 5-year window in your kids' lives where, and it's about first grade through sixth grade, where they're going to, whatever you invest in that time is what they're going to remember the most when
mm-hmm.
they think back 10 years, 20 years, 50 years from now, when they look back at their childhood and when they look back and they define their family, their original family, that's the time they're going to look at. And if I'm off at barbecue contests and we're not spending any time with them and they're just kind of in the background, then we're really not giving them that opportunity to have that wonderful memory, you know, and that memory of having fun but having love too. And that's what I'm doing right now. That's my number one job, is not yard bird rub or barbecue or even what I do during the day. My number one job is to be a dad. And right now I've got to make sure that I don't overcommit in other areas of my life that I'm taking away from this. So we do a lot of Cub Scouts. We do a lot of camping. The kids will come and cook. Christian won his first grand champion for Kids Q at 5. He's got 3 of them now.
Wow.
You know? So they like cooking. They just like doing anything. I mean, the other night, my oldest son and I, we had to do a couple Cub Scout things. We went and we cleaned out a pee trap under a sink, and then we went and fixed a toilet. And before he went to bed, he stopped and he said, "Thanks, Dad. That was a lot of fun tonight." And, you know, you can't be going so fast that you don't realize that
the
kids
small
just like spending time with you and doing that kind of stuff. So, you know, I'm on a little soapbox here, but it's really something that's important to me. And I just want to say one more thing. At the American Royal this year, and this is a call out to anybody listening that's coming to the Royal, last year during the awards, you know, we all stood up and sang the national anthem or listened to someone sing the national anthem, and I thought, man, this would be a great opportunity to do something more with the flag presentation. And
mm-hmm.
we're big into Cub Scouts. We do color guards. You know, I get kids together about 4 or 5 times a year, and we do color guards at the local hockey games and whatnot. And so flag presentations are a big part of what we do. So I instantly connected between the American Royal and what we do with the Scouts. So I contacted the American Royal this year, and I asked them if they'd be interested in doing a Cub Scout or doing a Scout-oriented color guard to open up their ceremonies. And my idea was, of the 500-plus teams, which I heard this year is like 549, there's got to be a lot of Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts in the group. And so we're putting out an open call to any of the teams competing. If you've got a scout, boy, girl, you know, teenage, elementary school, come be a part of our color guard. We're going to assemble for both contests, the Invitational and the Open, a scout color guard that's made up only of kids that are part of the barbecue teams. And I think I know it's my idea, but I love the idea. But because I mean, that's a lot of barbecue is, you know, there's a lot of us that, you know, love this country. You know, we're patriotic. We love kids. To have that whole connection there and to have it be us, you know, those kids out there doing it, they're part of us. And so I'm just super excited. That's the biggest thing I'm most excited for the Royal about, is getting those kids together those 2 days and going out and doing that. That's the biggest thing I just cannot wait for. And we've got Eagle Scouts that just turned Eagle this year. They're going to be, you know, opening the ceremony, the flag ceremony for us. They're going to be carrying the flags. And it's a great honor for those kids, a great honor for all of them. So, you know, that's just an extension of kind of what you're saying. You know, it's not all about barbecue for us in this family. It's about relationships and encouraging a next generation. So I'm done now. Thanks.
No, that didn't do, brother. That's awesome. And I'll tell you what. I mean, I think it would be awesome to see as many scouts out there as possible, both contests. Showing their patriotism and just, you know, doing the right thing. And the more kids we got involved in that, the more we got kids involved in things that we don't want them involved in. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So I'm gonna close with this. Quick answer. What do you think is the difference between when you cooked your first contest and right now at this point in time in the barbecue community?
I know about 5,000 more people than I did back then.
Agreed.
And that's probably understated. It's probably more like 10,000.
And they would probably do anything they could for you if you needed it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have 10,000 more friends than I did 14 years ago.
Yeah, and the thing I look at there is truly friends, not acquaintances, friends.
Right.
That's the cool thing about what we do.
Yeah, I would say about 10,000 friends and Rob Marion, too.
So. those guys.
Yeah, hey, Rob, check.
No, Todd, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
All right, buddy.
It's not going to be the last time, my friend. Had a great time with you. Wish you all the success. Best of luck at the Royal this year, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, sir.
Thank you.
Bye.
All right, guys. Todd Johns, Plowboys Barbecue. Not often you get a chance to talk to a pioneer in the industry about how he got started and what he did. And that's pretty cool. So we want to thank Todd a lot for coming on the show tonight. Hopefully we'll have him back on again. And with that being said, we're going to go to a newcomer on the circuit, and that's over here at Big Brother's Barbecue. How we doing?
Hey, good. How are you, Chad?
Good, man. So real quick, before we get started, first time on the show, introduce yourself and a little bit about your team.
Yep. My name is Matt Janos. I'm the pit master of Big Brother's Barbecue. Our team consists of myself, my brother Mark, and our cousin Brian Beckland. So three team members.
Awesome, man. So obviously I know you guys are coming off of Great Lakes Barbecue Association Team of the Year, which is pretty stout to say that you guys just started, in January?
Basically we started in 2010. We cooked one contest in the fall of 2010.
Okay.
And we cooked it on some real backyard stuff, just the cheap char griller offsets. And we pulled up to this contest about five, and I think each one of us had a 30 pack with us.
That's my kind of guys right there.
Yes, and they sir. It got pretty rowdy. We didn't sleep at all that night. I believe we went through 100 pounds of charcoal. It was raining. It was windy. It was cold. And the next morning, of course, we took an eighth in ribs and we were hooked.
Yes. Yes, you are.
So 2 weeks later, I went and I bought a Lang 60 Deluxe and started cooking on it. And then summer came and we were going to get into cooking a bunch of contests. And then we only ended up cooking two. So our second contest, we ended up 10th overall at the Tasty Grand Rapids, which that really built the excitement. And then our third contest was Silver Lake, Michigan, and we took 4th overall, and we won chicken. So then coming into this year, 2012, we knew we were going to hit it as hard as we can up here. We did 6 contests this year, including the Sam's Club Regional in Rockford, Illinois.
Awesome. So, you know, you and you guys still on the Lane 60?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. So you go from the char griller, that's kind of the you know, the backyard guys ode to, hey, let's get into competition barbecue. You realize, yeah, it's cool because I got an excuse to drink beer and feed charcoal every 30 minutes. But this kind of sucks if we really want to be competitive, right?
That's absolutely correct.
Well, just to make you feel better about it, Matt, story that most of the listeners have probably heard here, but our first contest ever, 2007, Backyard Division. Myself and Jared, that founded Whiskey Bent, and a couple other team members, Chris Thomas, we go over to Kissimmee, about an hour away, and we've got this huge 4x4, you know, wood burner, charcoal and wood, man, and it chews the shit out of it. It's circular, got a rotisserie. I mean, it's cool looking, but it'll work your ass off. And we had cooked on it maybe, I don't know, four times before we went out to this contest, and it comes down a torrential downpour. And that thing went from 225 to 145 in a heartbeat and just never – I'll tell you how far off the course we were, Matt. We cooked a whole chicken. and no, it was not IBC sanctioned down here in Florida. And I can remember sitting in there and carving pieces off of whole chickens, putting them in a turn-in box. I'd pay $100 if I had a picture of that turn-in box right now. It had to look so pathetic. And
that's
that day,
awesome.
And that day we got wore out. Nine teams, we finished seventh. We got beat by a pack of Boy Scouts. Whiskey Bent Barbecue was very humble beginning, if I may say. But then, you know, we just kind of that, you know, those high school and college athletic juices kind of kick in. And you're kind of like, all right, we're going to get better each time. But we never lost the spirit of who we were. One of our last contests we cooked in the amateur backyard division down here, that's a big thing in Florida. We have a huge backyard amateur, arena. And I think that's great because a lot of the guys that were cooking backyard 5 years ago are kicking people's asses in the pro division now. So I think it's a great breeding ground for it. But one of the best compliments we ever got was it was a contest in Dade City. We won grand in backyard, and we must have been up until 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's awesome.
Sat down in our lawn chairs for about an hour. Just back before we had a trailer, just cooking under a 10x10. Woke up the next morning. I say the next morning, I mean an hour later. And started prepping our chicken, doing our thing, you know, this and that. And that day when we get called for grand, I hear two people as we're walking on the stage go, those are the guys that were up until 5 o'clock this morning. This has got to be fit. And you're like, that's the best compliment ever. There's a reason we have this name. And if you ever – besides the Rod Grays of the world and the guys that make a living at doing this, if you ever lose focus of the reason we all do this, guys, is to have fun, catch up with friends, and compete. If you ever lose focus of that and it gets bigger than that, you need to find another hobby.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had that a little bit. You know, we cooked our first contest this year. And we won ribs, and I think we were 6th overall. We were feeling pretty good about that. And then we rolled into our Sam's Club qualifier, and we sit down for awards. And underneath our easy up, it was 119 degrees just
Ooh.
South of Detroit.
Ooh.
It was just the nastiest hot day that I could remember. And so we were sitting down at awards there, and they start going through awards, and we won chicken, and we come off 4th in ribs and 4th in pork, and I'm like, no way. But we knew we had didn't do real well in brisket that day, and sure enough, we come off 15th, which we were 3rd overall. So we had a real good roll going. We go to the Taste of Grand Rapids up here, and we reserve Grand Nat behind Scotty Johnson, who has won that 4 years in a row,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And then the very next week was when we had to go to Rockford, Illinois. So the juices were definitely flowing. We were into the groove. We were focused and serious going into Rockford, and it was like Death Alley there with the teams that we were cooking against. Now, this was our sixth contest, and I'm walking around there. I walked that place 100 times, and just looking at the teams and thinking, we don't have any business being here. What are we doing here? And I remember Diva Q was like, what are you doing? Stop pacing. Go to your site and cook. She's like, you're a good cook. And we didn't fare out real well in Rockford by any means, but I think what you were saying is that we might have taken that one a little bit too serious and weren't ourselves. We weren't having fun, and it was, you know, we were there for business, and that's not how we do well.
Well, you know, that's kind of honestly the way we've approached this whole year is, you know, we've just been a little too uptight, a little bit too much not ourselves. And I'm going to tell you, not this weekend, not next weekend, the following weekend, we're going to go right back out, and we're going to be with the barbecue. We're going to be what we built this team on. We're going to have a good time. We're going to get loud. We're probably going to drink too much. We're probably going to violate the quiet time stipulation. I really don't care. We're going to get back to the basics of what made us love this hobby, and hopefully the results will follow. But that's, you know, I will say probably the last 6 to 10 contests we've cooked, we've been just way too reserved and way too tense. And that's my fault. I mean, you know, I'm the pitmaster of the team, I'm the leader of the team, and maybe I've caused that. But I'm going to tell you, from here on out, it is back to business as usual, and I'm looking forward to it.
Got
the crown distributor on the line. Make sure we're locked up deep, because it's going to be a good time.
There you go. It's all about fun. That's what this whole thing's about, fun, building relationships, and meeting new people and not looking back.
Absolutely. So what brought you into this? What brought you guys into this thing? I mean, there's something that made competition barbecue grab your eye.
Originally, my brother Mark, who's on the team, he got married and he had a child, and so his life slowed down a little bit. I'm 7 years younger than he is, so I was hitting it pretty hard yet, hitting late night. And my mom and dad got a pool, and he had bought the char griller, and he'd be over there at 6 o'clock in the morning cooking a brisket. I'd get up around noon and walk down there and be like, "What are you doing?" "Oh, I'm cooking this brisket." "What time did you get here?" "Oh, I got here about 6. And I'm like, "This is stupid. What are you doing?" Well, you go forward a little bit. I get married. My wife and I have some friends that live in St. Louis, and we've always loved barbecue. And we hit Pappy's down in St. Louis,
mm-hmm.
and it was delicious. And I told my wife after that, when I get home, I'm gonna buy a smoker, and I'm gonna look into the competition barbecue. So we did, and it's been a lot of fun ever since. All the way to that first contest, and now it's just been a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's an expensive hobby, but man, it is so rewarding just from the relationships and the friends you build, and just it almost you know, allows you to create kind of this other identity. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's just cool.
Absolutely.
So
what
made you guys go with the Lang 60? What was it about your research, or did somebody tell you about it, or what made you go with one of Ben's, you know, fire burning units? I mean, they're good.
It was back to that first event. I met Walt and Teresa Monroe. Their team was Smoking Scotsman, and they were cooking at Jambo, and to be completely honest with you, I had no idea about brand pits or anything like that at that first contest. Teresa was sweet enough to come over and introduce herself, and she walked us around and showed us what an FEC was, what a Jambo was, what a Lang was and how all these different types of cookers work. And it just so happened that the guys cooking behind us, that they were actually cooking on drums, but one of them owned the Lang 60. And Teresa told me, hey, he's got a Lang 60 for sale. That's what we started on. And like I said, after getting that eighth place award and ribs there, I was so geeked, and I couldn't get home fast enough and get a hold of the guy to run down to his place and buy the thing from him. And then it became a lot of work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thought, I think, that goes into how a Lang cooks and finding the hot spots in it and trying to keep your meat out of the hot spots. And he had customized it a little bit. He had put two slides in it. I know some of them just have like a stand upper rack.
Yep.
He had put two slide outs in it, which we were using both. But like I said, it kind of became an issue because the 60 is not real large. And we cooked quite a bit of meat at a contest. So it kind of became a placement deal. So I think it took us this long to kind of learn placement and how to get things in there to get them consistent and turning out the same every time.
Right. So how do you, with kind of the two quote unquote custom slide outs, how have you kind of worked around that?
Well, I get the next thing was this year is all the talk about Snake River briskets or any Wagyu for that matter. So this year we kind of started playing around with cooking Wagyus. Well, I'd always cook two choice briskets next to each other, and then I cook four pork butts.
Mm-hmm.
So I got them all. I got them all on the bottom rack at the beginning. But I had two butts that were getting a little too close to the firebox. They were browning up on me real fast. They were getting done real fast. And it was just pretty warm over there. We started cooking Wagyus, and I found that one of them cooks a little bit better. I think they cook a little bit better, a little bit hotter.
Mm-hmm.
So I was able to shift that and then move everything over. And then once I'm wrapped, I'm fine because then both my briskets go up top where it's hot and my porks just stay low. And then I can get my ribs on at the coolest end on the opposite side of the firebox with all that going on still.
That's interesting. So, you know, I just got a little 36 here at the house. Did a little pellet cooker for Lang 36 trade. And I cook in a pretty regular here at the house. And I'll tell you what, man, it's a cool little cooker.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I mean, for the money, I mean, yeah, if you want to go out and buy a Jambo and you're sitting on those kind of dollars, go do it. But if you want a poor man's Jambo, that's your best deal right there if you're looking for a steak burner.
Yep. We, you know, and then doing well and moving up and stuff, wondering how many more of these might we cook next year. And that the cooker change is always in my head, you know. Or maybe we want to get some sleep because we don't get a lot of sleep for this thing. I've been looking at pit makers, and then I think about a Jambo, and it's like, man, just keep running what you're winning with. Why would you change something that you got figured out? I mean, I can't fathom changing really now. So we're going to stay with it, I think, at least for one more season or however that goes.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, man. We're going to have Pitmaker on the show next week.
Awesome.
I'm pretty impressed by him. I knew of him, and then you know I went out and I cooked chopped and. Me and Ernest became friends, the guy that won it. And Ernest is good friends with all the guys over at Pitmaker. And so me and Ernest got to talking more. And I think that they've got great stick burner options. They've got great insulated cooker options. You know, if you're wanting to stay true to that wooden charcoal thing, you know, in a insulated or a stick burner type cooker offset, I think they may have some of the best stuff out on the market. So I'm looking forward to having them on the show next week and really kind of getting into what caused Pitmaker to come about and, you know, some discussion in the construction of their cookers because, they get great results. it just sticks out to me, you know, how they're so regionalized. Because, you know, if you look at people like Stumps and Spice Wine, you know, you can find plenty of Spice Wines down here in Florida and a few of them up in Seattle, that area. So, I mean, they're from the southeast to northwest. The same with Stumps, same with Lang. And maybe Pitmaker's just one of those brands that's relatively new and people are just starting to get the word out on.
Yeah, yep. I talked to Mikey Z from
yep.
Motley Q, and
mm-hmm.
that's what they cooked on at the Houston Livestock Rodeo. Now,
mm-hmm.
he cooks on a Backwoods, and when I had the conversation with him, he said, he's like, Backwoods, you know, great, great cooker. He's like, and then there's Pitmaker. He's like, it's kind of like the difference between a close and a jambo.
Yep.
That was how he described it. He said they're just, he says, you run the water out of them and the temperature doesn't change. He's like,
yep.
No spikes. He's like, they're just a solid, solid cooker. So after that conversation, that was, and us thinking about wanting to get some sleep, that was kind of why I was starting to kick it around. But like I said, it's hard to change when you've done as well as we've done.
Yeah.
Through nine contests anyways. So
absolutely.
Hopefully some of that keeps up for us.
And so what time are you usually firing that laying up?
We fire it at 2. I try to go to bed. And then my brother or our cousin will stay up till 3 o'clock, and then they'll wake me up, and then I'll put the meat on, and then those guys go to bed.
So you cook very similar of a timeline of what a quote-unquote jambo cooker would cook. I mean, if you talk to Rob Marion, Mike Richter from Chick Swan and Bovine, the guys we've had on the show that cook on jambos, that's their similar timeline, building a fire at 2:30, trying to get it stabilized and ready for meat around 3.
Yep.
So that,
yep.
That, so,
then,
so that, that would tell me you're shooting for that 275-ish?
We're a little bit cooler.
Okay.
We're right between 240 and 250.
Okay.
And I always try to be wrapped about 6:30. I try to get everything wrapped, and then so then I got room for ribs to go on. So maybe, I mean, I don't know because I haven't cooked on a jambo, but I wonder, and I'm not looking for an internal temp at that time. I don't really bother with it. As long as the color looks good, it's getting wrapped. So maybe I'm a little bit cooler than those guys are when they're wrapping. But then I get kind of some of that stuff in the hotter zone, and it takes it through. So, and I like to be in the Cambro by about 9. So.
Really?
Yep.
That's interesting.
I would like them to be. It doesn't always happen.
Right.
That seems to be what's been hitting the best for us is about 9 o'clock, them things have been done, 9:30. I start getting nervous if they're not, because then we have some room issues.
Right, yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So, that's interesting. Let's talk about chicken for a second. So, on the chicken side, are you guys thighs cooks?
What's that?
Do you guys cook thighs?
Yes, sir. Yep, we cooked 24.
And do you find yourself filleting the skin or doing anything, or just letting that heat render out that fat on the chicken skin?
No, we're not filleting. We're letting the heat render out. And may not bragging, but it's just been such a good run, I can't not mention it. We have cooked 9 contests, and we have taken first place at 4 of those 9 contests in chicken.
Wow.
So that we're pretty proud of that one, and we won the Great Lakes Barbecue Association overall team of the year and also chicken team of the year. And it was a good fight between us and the boys over at RSS. It come right down to the last contest, and I think we had to win it, and we won it. So that was.
I'll tell you what, man. RSS came out this year swinging for the fences. Oh, Mike and those guys, man. They had a good year.
Yes, they did. They had a great year, and I can't thank them guys enough for, you know, Mike over there as the president, and his teammates Bruce and Scott are on the board of directors, and And for, you know, KCBS is a big organization, and you've got to really, you know, I don't even know how them guys can cook 30-plus contests a year. I mean, there's no way. I just can't see it happening. I wish we could. I think every weekend we're like, man, we wish we were sitting at a contest right now, but it just doesn't work for us. And for the Great Lakes Barbecue Association to have a Team of the Year program, it means so much looking at this whole thing and to be able to win something like that just from an association, you know. So I can't thank them guys enough for putting the time and the effort into making this association what it is. And I hope we can get some other states to come on board. I know that they're interested in that and growing that association.
No, I think it's a great association. The couple times that we've only cooked one Michigan comp ever, and that was the we cooked in there at the racetrack, Brooklyn.
Yeah, Brooklyn, Michigan.
And we had a good cook. I mean, we won brisket. There was some hard hitters. It was a Ronnie Cates event. But those guys over at RSS, you know, we knew them from cooking up in that area a little bit. But just nice guys, man. Always, you know, we needed anything, they took care of us, and they were just good folks. And love to get back up in that neck of the woods sometime in the next couple of years and cook a little bit more. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. And like I said, there's just it really means something to someone that can't cook 30 contests a year to be able to have something that. And it was fun because it came right down to the last contest. I think there was three or four teams that were in position to win it going into our last contest here at Silver Lake. So it made it exciting, and it definitely was a good race. And I got to thank Smoking Aces. He took a second. He led that thing all the way to the end. And we kind of stole it from him hitting that grand at Silver Lake. But it was a lot of fun. It was tons of fun.
Well, you know, that's what it's about. It's about, you know, introducing more teams, you know, more folks to what we're doing. And when you put, like, you know, I love the FBA to death, Florida Barbecue Association, and, you know, been a member for years and always will be. But, you know, when you say that our Team of the Year is going to be across every contest is a points-getting contest. There's, I don't know the count this year, but there's between 28 and 35 FBA contests every year. Now, don't get me wrong. Everybody that's won it since I've been involved is a damn good cook. And a cook, you know, one of the best cooks in the country, I would consider, every year that it happens. But it's just too much to chase. You can't, I mean, it's very tough to do it. So having something like you guys have there, you know, in Great Lakes Barbecue Association, it's something that's manageable. It's something you can plan out. You can put your weekends around it, and you can go out there and chase that thing.
Yeah, and you don't even the way they had it set up this year, you didn't even have to cook every Michigan contest.
No, nice.
They took your best three contests, and they had a point system for every category and overall. And they just tallied those points up, and so your best three. So if you cooked all eight or whatever we had, you know, you're giving yourself more options,
better
more
odds,
cook
yeah.
to hit it. But yeah, they took the top three, and that's, I said it, because we weren't even able to cook every Michigan contest. So to win it, not cooking every Michigan contest and everything else, I mean, we were just so excited. It felt like such a good goal that we had hit because, yeah, it was really, really something. And like I said, I can't thank the association and everyone enough for having it. And I hope that it gets stronger and they can keep building this every year.
That's awesome. So I mean, I think it's good. I mean, I think it's something, you know, like we've kind of stumbled on tonight is it's great for teams that are wanting to kind of make that jump a little bit. It gives them something attainable, you know?
Absolutely. It gives a goal, something to go for, you know, and all new cooks, don't be afraid to go around and ask people questions, because that's how we grow it, because you know, you could show up to a contest and those five teams over in the corner over there, you know, one of them five are probably going to win it. I don't want to go talk to them, but I think it's worth the effort. I think it's worth the effort to go over there and pick their brain a little bit. And 99% of people are going to be more than welcoming coming in. So,
I said that
we had a lot of help at our first contest. So.
That's great. So do you guys have anything else left for the rest of the year?
We were talking about running down to Nelsonville, Ohio. I know you've cooked that one. That one's, it's still, we got to talk about it a little bit more and see if that's what we're going to do, but I don't know.
I'm going to tell you, if you go down there and you cook that one, I don't know your flavor profiles. You haven't told me your flavor profiles, but if you're going to cook that contest, stay pretty close to the Blues Hog taste.
Right.
You know, get off it just enough to make it your own, but don't get too far from it. That seems to hit up there. We decided last year that we thought we were going to get cute and either go big or go home, and we went home. but that happens when you take chances, you know.
Yep.
But in seriousness, if you go up there and cook it, it's awesome. It's right there in the town center. It's really cool. It's a fun time, but just you know, stay kind of around that flavor profile.
Yep. No, I appreciate that. No, that was one we talked about, and then coming into the beginning of next year, do they call it the winter queue? It's out in Missouri somewhere.
Yeah.
In February there, I think we might try to start out the year out there. Not saying we're going to go hit the hard circuit, but we'd like to go stack up against some of those bigger name teams again and see if we can have a little bit better day after the day we had out in Rockford. So
I'm going to tell you, if you want to stack up against some big names, down here the first weekend in January, Pigfest in Lakeland, Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man, I've got the 36. We've got a custom built offset. We've got a stumps. None of them we use at a contest. So, if you boys ever want to come cook against some folks, and we got plenty of 10x10s and probably half the supplies you need, you know, you boys get squirrely, y'all can come on down here and do that thing.
Ooh, we might have to take you up on that offer. I'll have to.
Hey.
I got my wife had a newborn here in May. And a little girl, and so I gotta say thanks to her for letting me chase as much of this as I've chased, and I think she could pull her hair out. She's happy tonight because I got to go outside and talk to somebody else about barbecue.
that's funny, but the options open. It's a great contest to cook, and you get teams from all over the country, and that's why we love it, especially. The fact that it's right here, you know, 10 minutes from our house makes it even better. But it's always super nice to be a part of and to get to cook against some of those, you know, best teams around and see where you stack up early on in the year.
Absolutely. Well, I appreciate that, Chad, and I'll be giving you a buzz if that comes up where we get a possibility of where we could cook that one.
That sounds good, man. You know how to get a hold of me.
Yes, sir.
So, Mark, anything else you want to close the show out with before we get going here?
I got to congratulate a local Michigan team heading to the Jack this year in Dick Berdeau, Bavarian Smoke.
Those guys are good cooks.
I got to wish him good luck heading down there. And I got to wish another great team in Spruce Ridge Smokers going to Bentonville, the only Michigan team doing it 2 years in a row. So... hopefully those guys have a good cook down in Bentonville.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, thank you so much, brother, for coming on the show. And I appreciate it, and we hope to have you back on again soon.
Hey, thank you, Chad.
All right, man. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, guys. Matt Janos from Big Brothers Barbecue. What a great year those guys had. To be able to come out really first year taking it seriously. And come down with the Great Lakes Barbecue Association Team of the Year. With that being said, I'm glad we got a good 2 hours behind us tonight. Enjoyed being back on the show, having it going, and I believe next week we are a go. We're trying to line up Pitmaker. I believe we may have Darian from Cosmos Q on, and probably another guest. We'll see, trying to line that up right now. But until next week, y'all have a great week and keep the pit lit.